Lord, as we read the scriptures, fill us with your love and hope. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it is lovely to be back. Thank you very much, David, for your invitation to be here for the two services this morning. It's been a very solemn week, and the news has been dominated by the sentencing of Sarah Everard's killer. The point has been made that since she was murdered, probably about 80 other women in this country have been killed by men. The news this week has caused, as I'm sure we're all aware, enormous heart-searching, beginning with the police service. There has been criticism of police culture. But then again, many police officers have been very quick to say that the culture represented by misogyny, the bad treatment of women, they say that culture does not represent us. And there will be very serious work done by police generally, and especially their leaders, to look at their culture. And they deserve our prayers. And still, we have, for the overwhelming part, a superb citizen police force, not separate from society, but part of it. And that's very precious. But questions have also been asked about society in general. This week's news has, as it were, unleashed all kinds of news articles and things that have been broadcast where women have said that in so many ways they do not feel safe. And for men particularly, that may have come as something of a surprise, that simply, let's say, walking around Middlesbrough town centre at night, which is something I feel quite happy doing, many women will say, I would just never do it. Now, Bishop, are you getting a bit woke? Well, wokery is a criticism levelled by those who are in a dominant part of culture, so often to divert questions about the assumptions on which their power is based. You don't have people who feel vulnerable complaining about others being woke. So, what's that saying to us? What do we do with all of that as Christian people? And I found myself thinking about that when I first looked at what today's gospel reading would be. Not the easiest one. Jesus has a question put to him. Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? Lawful according to the law that we see in what we call the Old Testament, the Hebrew scriptures, the scriptures of the Jewish people. Well, in a way, it's a non-question because in Deuteronomy it says, yes, a man can divorce his wife. But the context is essential. Jesus is commenting on a matter that was already a subject of debate in his own time. It doesn't come, as it were, out of a clear vacuum. Because in Deuteronomy, a man could give his wife a certificate of divorce if he found something, ervat davar, if he found something that was displeasing or distasteful. But exactly what that is not specified in Deuteronomy. And so the rabbis in Jesus' time were giving very different interpretations and judgments about it. Some of them were very strict, and some of them were quite lax, and in effect, they were allowing divorce on demand. And that meant, remember, this is about a man being able to give a woman a certificate of divorce. It's only one way round. It meant that for some women, the very male-dominated nature of society left them in a situation where they were powerless. And the way that the question is framed in the gospel reading by the people who came and questioned Jesus, that shows that there is still an assumption in their minds that divorce was still at the discretion of men. Jesus speaks in a way that makes it clear he disapproves of the kind of divorce that some people, yes, particularly men, could obtain on trivial grounds. He's very strict. And he says the concession in the law was on account of people's hardness of heart. In his Greek account, Mark gives us a very stark word for that. Sclerocardia. Sounds like a disease, and it is. To read the gospel text today is to acknowledge that in the culture where the scriptures took their form, there was massive gender inequality. But Jesus goes behind the question he's asked, as so often he does, and he challenges that hardness of heart. He challenges the abuse of one person by another, not only within the institution of marriage, but also misusing the institution of marriage. In other words, Jesus encourages his listeners to a change of mindset. And as we might put it, he challenges them to build a better culture. Just to deal with the subject of divorce for a moment, there are people whose marriages have, for various reasons, fallen apart. And yes, the church does allow further marriage in accordance with guidelines. I have officiated at such marriages myself. I don't believe that, for instance, someone who has escaped an oppressive and abusive marriage should be required to live in an emotional and relational vacuum forever. But there is a more radical question to which this week's events point, and in its context, the gospel reading calls us to bring to bear on our own thinking, our actions, and our society. What are those things that mean a huge number of women are cautious or fearful or treated badly in a way that overwhelmingly men are less likely to be? And is the church immune? Oh, I'd love to say it was. But it's not. I could tell you so many stories. I could tell you of the time when we appointed a priest to a parish, and once in post, the priest announced very quickly that she was pregnant. One of the parish representatives demanded to know of me whether I was aware at the time she was appointed whether she was pregnant. And I said, if I answer that question, it will probably be illegal. Stuff and nonsense, he said. It wouldn't happen in any other walk of life. Well, if that's true, that's dreadful. And that person was legally qualified. Shame. Or the deanery chapter, a gathering of clergy, not in this deanery, I hasten to add, where the women in it felt that they could no longer attend because of what they described as a competitive, blokish culture. Now, in none of this is there the gross abuse. But there is something about the culture, even within church, that needs to be challenged. I'm sure that there are many ways in which men don't realize that we are complicit in diminishing the flourishing, well-being, confidence, and security of women. Putting that right needs awareness, it needs humility, and it needs conscious effort, because it will not happen automatically or by a kind of laissez-faire, just let things happen. It means building a very different culture. And that, I believe, is a gospel imperative. And that's why it will be good news.